Blog Talk Radio.
Back on the Skype. I'm hoping you can hear me. It's April 17th, at least I think it is, April 17, 2013. I'm going to tell you a little story, okay? It's not really about recruiting. A few weeks ago, I was taking care of my friend's dog. And he left him with me for 10 days. And this dog refused to eat his regular food once he came here. So I bought him some canned food, and he refused to eat that food, too. But then I fed it from my hand. I had an idea. I take it out of the can. I put it in my hand. And you know what? He ate it. He ate a ton of it. And I was very, very proud of myself. And then he got diarrhea from the food that I fed him. So that night, it was a Friday like morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up. I opened my eyes. And I see him standing right beside my bed in front of me. He's a big dog. He's staring at me. And I knew that he was telling me something. So I got dressed and I went out for a walk and everything was okay. But then when I went back to bed, I couldn't settle down. The dog was fine. I couldn't settle down because suddenly I had a pain in my side and I kept moving around to try to get in a more comfortable position, but it just kept getting worse. And finally it settled in my kidney area, in the lower back, and it felt like both of my kidneys were in a vise and they were being compressed and it was getting more and more painful. I didn't want to go to the hospital, so I walked around and I tried to stretch, but I couldn't get rid of the pain and I couldn't go back to sleep. So finally, around 9 in the morning, the pain subsided and I thought I would be okay, but after lunch, it started up again. So I went to the hospital. I took the dog to my friend's place first. They have a doggy door there, and he was coming home that night anyway. So I got to the hospital around 3 in the afternoon. I didn't have to wait long. Quite often, you have to wait 3 hours in emergency here. I was there like 15 or 20 minutes, and I was inside. The people were very, very nice to me. The pain had subsided again. I wasn't feeling it, but they didn't treat me like a faker. They gave me a bunch of tests. And this physician's assistant told me they were going to give me a CAT scan. So they had me sit in this waiting room. And after a little while, the nurse came over and she gave me a Percocet, which is a powerful painkiller. It took the pain away and it made me kind of happy. And I was tired and I was kind of happy. And so I was just content to sit. I wasn't sleeping. I was just sitting there and I was reading magazines. I know I'm going on. Sorry. Anyway, there were other people there in the waiting room. They were coming and going. I started out wondering after a while, when is my turn going to come? But the doctor who saw me was walking by all the time. The nurse was walking by. The physician's assistant who took care of me, they were all walking by. They were looking at me. They saw me there. I assumed they knew what was going on. Finally, at 8:30, I went over to a nurse who I hadn't seen before at the desk, and I asked her, when's my CAT scan coming? So she makes a phone call. She says, they'll come and get me in a half an hour. So then I asked how long it would take to process the report. She says an hour and a half. So I said, well, it looks like I should have started prodding you a little earlier. No, she says, you don't prod anybody here. Prodding is not going to get you anything. You're on a list. And when they get to you, they get to you. You know, she told me off and put me in my place. She's a lot younger than me, but that didn't matter to her. Anyway, 5 minutes later, the CAT scan guy comes and he gets me. And I'd seen him wandering around all night aimlessly with nothing to do. And he saw me before. So I said to him, what happened? He said, well, your order is time-stamped 5:30, but I didn't get it till 5 minutes ago. Then he says, you should have said something. But that's not what the nurse told me, is it? She said I should shut up. But this guy was right. I should have said something. I mean, I was doped up and I was tired. I had a good excuse for being a dummy, for sitting there like a dummy. But that's what I was. I mean, the people were very nice. I didn't want to bug them or fight with them. But I was there for 3 hours extra for no reason at all. So I should have made this shorter, but the moral of the story is sometimes you have to speak up. And the arrogant jerks who try to put you in your place, they're totally wrong. And what was the problem? You're wondering that I went in? You forgot already. I went to the hospital for a reason. I had a kidney stone. And let me tell you, that takes a lot out of you. But it didn't stop me from being here today on Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show. Well, you sure told them. All three of your listeners know that hospital didn't treat you right now, huh?
Yeah, the Mount Sinai Hospital in Toronto.
All three of your listeners will avoid that now.
They did. I got to tell you, there's a lot of listeners here today because we got a big shot on the phone today. He's our guest, okay? But Jerry's not here. I just wanted to tell people he's out fishing. He's out fishing, okay? He doesn't have enough food in the supermarket. He's got to go get fish from a polluted lake. Anyway,
you know what? He's really laying his responsibilities by the lay side these days, isn't he?
Yeah,
sorry, I can't talk.
Not the lay side. Learn how to speak English. That's Mike Aspringer. He wants to be. Oh, actually, he's going to be the. He's going to lead the after show. Want to have a chat with Mike? Go ahead.
I'm Jerry today without being a redneck.
So that must be Jerry on the boat. That must be the ladies or something. Art Pappas, my guest. Are you here?
I am.
Oh, good. I can hear you, too. Hey, I put up a picture of you that's my favorite because it makes you look like the Joker. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that. It's great.
You got the long face because you're not a bad-looking guy. I saw you on many TV shows. You're interviewed all the time. Do you have a PR person getting you all those spots?
Yes. Yeah, we do. We have a PR
person. Oh, why did you hesitate? Why? Well, come on. That's not for
this
kind of...
Yeah, well, you know, people don't naturally call me up and say, hey, why don't you come on TV, obviously. Yeah.
Well, why not? Okay.
I don't
know.
It's a good question.
You've got a billion articles. They're very good. I read a lot of them, and we're going to talk to you about that stuff today. Now, you are a musician, like a quasi-professional musician. Am I right?
I don't know. Wait, quasi-professional. I'm definitely...
Maybe I'll be a software programmer, or maybe I'll be a musician for a career. Am I right about that, or wrong?
No, I didn't. I never entertained doing it quasi-professionally, or professionally at all. But
you announced on Twitter you're too chicken to sing a song today, even though you're musical. Is that right?
Yes, I don't sing at all. Or I do, but it's bad. Nobody wants to listen to it. So.
Well, what about a great song? You can sing a song that none of us know. We won't know if it's doing good or bad.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. I'll introduce the guy, Art Pappas, ArtPappas. That's his Twitter name. And he is the co-founder of a recruiting software company called Bullhorn. I assume most of you know about it. I don't think I have to say any more by way of introduction. Do you, Art?
Sounds pretty good.
Okay, look, you know, I told you to drink some Red Bull or something before you come in. No hesitations. Don't talk slow on this show, okay?
Got it.
Okay, now you hesitated. Don't just say, I'm going to answer right
hesitate.
Away. I'm going to answer right away, okay? You got to keep my audience. They have a short attention span, okay? A lot of Gen Ys out there. Now, listen, I thought I'd ask you before anything else about the career coaching tips that I hear all the time. You interview a lot of people. You told me that. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
uh-huh. You've got how many people work in your company?
I'm 300 now.
Okay. Lots of them. How many are interviewed by you? What percentage?
Maybe about 10%.
Okay, that's still a fair number. Okay, but let me ask you these questions very quick. Now, do you think there's any candidates you would have hired if they'd written a better resume?
No. No.
Because the resume's not what counts, is it?
It's useless. Yeah, once they're in the door, the resume really is useless.
Okay. Now, if they learned how to perform well...
Said the man who runs a resume company.
Yeah. If they learned how to perform well in the interview, if they would have, you know, been smoother, would that have made a difference?
That's a good question. I think there's a dynamic there where people who come across as being smooth or confident or calm and collected, they have a little bit of an edge. You know, it's funny. I interviewed somebody just last week who was super nervous, and I got to say, it probably hurt his candidacy a little bit.
Now, I'm shocked because that would make a difference to me if I was recruiting a programmer, because I'm not a programmer. I cannot judge a person technically. But that's what you're really interested in. You don't care if the guy's a goof or anything like that, do you?
Well, this was a sales guy, and so actually it did matter
okay.
for this particular
okay.
individual.
Animal,
yeah.
Can you ask him about our topic last week? Would he hire a salesperson that got laid more in college?
Well, I actually had that down, but if you know, we had a test for recruiters was suggested. Somebody who's good at chatting up girls when they're a young man, that's a sign of someone who's going to be a good recruiter. I agreed. I think that's probably a good indicator. What
it's
do you say?
Be. It's got to be.
Yeah, although
would you judge a woman candidate based on that, Art?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, of course you'd hire people up. Yeah, that's great.
Okay.
Oh, no, we're not talking about chatting people up. We're taking it a little bit further than that.
Okay, yeah,
okay.
He didn't get laid, okay? But, you know, that just drove Amy and these other people crazy. They couldn't see by that word, even though it was the exact same thing. Okay, but what about...
Wait, I have another question for Art. Do you think that Animal is not successful as a recruiter because he can't get laid?
He doesn't know me.
Well,
he doesn't know me very well.
I don't
well.
Have any basis for knowing what his sexual exploits are, whether they're good or bad.
Yeah, okay, pass on
you
that.
You guys would have to fill me in. But.
Don't listen to Mike's questions, okay? I'll tell you if they're worth answering or not. Okay, just a few more. Do you think you would have hired someone who sent you a thank you note and you wouldn't have hired them if they hadn't? You would have chosen someone else?
That's a big deal for me.
You're kidding.
So,
I thought none of these things would be important.
No, thank you. Thank you, email. Thank you, note. I don't like because it takes too long to get it. I just interviewed somebody yesterday. Didn't get a thank you email yet. You know, he's probably got another 24 hours to get it to me. But if he sent me a thank you note by day three, you know, if the mail's slow, I'm thinking, hey, that guy didn't bother to say thank you. He's going to be in a sales position. You know, it just suggests, like, you know, you're on your best behavior when you're interviewing, and if you can't bother to shoot a note saying it was nice meeting you, I really liked the company, enjoyed the conversation, et cetera, like, it's not like a must-have, and so I don't think we'll ever discount somebody for not sending one, but it does. If you're on the fence about a candidate already and you think maybe their follow-up might not be great and then they don't send a thank you note, it can hurt them.
Okay, but you're picking on salespeople, and those are sales skills that they're demonstrating.
Or customer service.
Okay, but I was thinking more of programmers. I mean, some programmers barely speak English, right? I mean, it's not an issue.
No.
Only for certain jobs. For an accountant.
That's right.
Would account for an accountant?
No.
Okay, just for people facing jobs, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I heard actually on another radio show that you can't see, that's the thing. It's so hard to find good software people. I didn't think you'd toss them out for any of those reasons. Now, I heard you can't recruit good software people on the phone anymore because they're getting too many calls. Is that true?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. And
I had not heard that.
The alternative was that you actually had to go out and meet them at events. Is that true?
No.
Really?
We hired a lot of programmers in the last couple months. And
maybe you're not hiring good guys.
We're hiring great guys.
Okay.
Ours are fantastic. And they even have personalities.
Okay, do you ever go to events? Just let me move on there anyway. Did you go to events?
Occasionally we do the college fairs, but we don't go to, like, meetups at all.
Why
those
not?
Meetups,
I mean,
are,
I'm shocked. Why not?
Well, personally, having been to, like, two of them, I never found anybody very interesting at those things. You know, our recruiting team, so we have, like, four recruiters. I don't think they bother with that stuff. You know, that most of it's, you know, interacting with people online and then getting them to come in for an interview.
Anybody else surprised? Dead silence. You know, if I talk about getting laid, they're in there. But if I talk about...
No, Animal, I think a personal email, is the best way because they don't want to get phone calls. I've heard that, too, from programmers and developers. But they also don't want to be spammed. They don't want to get the same in-mail that, you know, 50 of their friends just got. So it's the personal connection online, you know, referring to their blog or something like that. That's what works.
Okay, Amy, who reads email from people you don't know? Come on, doesn't that get deleted or just go straight to a junk file so you never see it at all?
Sometimes.
Art?
Yeah, I think that the email does a pretty good job of getting read. But developers aren't really hanging out on LinkedIn as much. They're
so how do you get in touch with the guy? You're not being clear. You're all over the place. In mail, yeah, they're not. It's great, but they're not looking at it. So how do you get in touch? But the phone's no good. How do you get in touch with somebody?
Yeah, DM them on Twitter. You know, it's tough.
You're not giving an answer. Okay, you're not a recruiter.
That's
because you're asking the CEO of a company.
You have to do all of those things.
Yeah, it's all of the above. Whatever works.
Well, you're right. Maybe I'm asking somebody who's not a recruiter. Okay.
Yeah, Adam, you're asking for one specific method, and one specific method doesn't work.
I got to tell you something. This guy's building software for recruiters, so he should know what they're doing. Okay? Isn't that fair?
He does know what they're doing. They're doing a variety of methods.
What I know is that they throw as much at the wall as they possibly can to see what sticks, and it's all of the above. It's in mails, it's emails, it's phone calls, it's text messages, it's DMs on Twitter, Facebook wall posts.
What about
whatever
what Amy said? No email blast. She says they're too sensitive. They don't like
that. Yeah, people ignore that stuff. Yeah, dear $ first name. Yeah, that doesn't work.
They're getting so cocky. If you go onto LinkedIn, under their profile, they're saying, not looking for a job. Do not contact me for a job. I mean, they're just, they have.
You know what? You should call those guys just to harass them. Thank you. Kathy Mannis, welcome back. Okay.
I've been on. I just haven't talked much. I'm really upset because I missed the whole sexual episode last week.
Wasn't that exciting, okay?
Amy, if you'd like, or Amy, I'm sorry, Kathy, if you'd like, I'll get on a plane and come explain it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Look, Art.
I did listen to the link. It was a good part of the program.
Yeah, good. You know what? Yeah, Kathy, Art's the guest here, okay?
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Maybe we should be asking Art if he can get laid.
Art's married to a good woman. She had faith in him when his parents didn't. Isn't that true, Art?
That's right.
Yeah, because no, I'll just set up that story where it came from. This guy, you had a funny work history. You and your buddy, you just wanted to go into business. You didn't know anything at all about recruiting, so you tried to make some online recruiting software that nobody wanted, right? Yes or no?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Jeez, don't get too excited by me, okay? I'm setting
you
up.
You were all excited about it. I was going to let you run with it.
Okay, I'm going to. So then, finally, they go to some gangster, it sounds like, in New Jersey. Oh, well, at first they weren't making any money. He was paying his rent on his credit card, and his parents were saying, what are you doing? In fact, that's what I'm quoting what you said. What are you doing?
Yeah, my dad kept asking me when I was going to go back to grad school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
they didn't believe in
you. He used to refer to Bullhorn as "How's your website doing?" And I'd get all angry. It's not a website anymore, Dad, because we were a .com when we started, and then he just couldn't stop calling it a website, even when it was a software company, and that just used to drive me crazy.
Do you have a profession or
back? He's a psychiatrist. Yeah. Yeah.
No way. Okay, and so he was an educated person, and he still couldn't understand, right?
Yeah, I'm the first to sort of break from the long lineage of doctors and both sides of my family.
Okay.
So it was a big deal that I, A, didn't get a secondary degree after undergrad, and then B, was doing something in technology that was like.
And why
totally...
didn't you get a secondary degree? Why didn't you do that?
I was fired up to start a company. I wanted to be my own boss work for myself and come up with ideas and implement them. And I love software. I was a software engineer and I loved coding. And I love the fact that I could come up with an idea, code it, and put it on the internet and instantly, show it to people. And then either they loved it or they threw up all over it. But I love sort of that feedback.
Okay, but let me just give your wife the credit. Okay, but she still wanted to marry you even though you were a failure at that point. Is that right?
Yes, yes. She. I did a pretty good job kind of obscuring the fact that it was a total failure when I first met her. I was
okay,
perhaps
I'm not that interested.
Suspending
okay, I
disbelief.
Get my point. Okay, look, going back to the interviews, okay, why is it – who's on that making those noises? Why is it taboo to talk about salary in an interview? I read an article by a guy said, I want the – he says, this is how I conduct an interview. I want the candidate to grill me. That way I know he understands the business. He's serious. And I think that's good. So if somebody wants the candidate to be – you know, really upfront about what he's interested in and finding out about the company, why do people get intimidated by that? And especially when you say, how much money? You know, everybody's thinking about it. They just kind of pretend for because they know they have to, that it's not on their mind. They leave it for the last. I always coach people, don't talk about the money till after you get to know each other.
Yeah, I think that's like a social taboo thing, right? Like, you know, you're raised to you know, hear that you
no,
never
no,
talk
it's
about
a business thing.
You know,
it's
sex,
a preface,
money, and politics,
if
right?
If a guy's interested in money, he's not interested in the job. If he wants to know what he's going to be living off of, he doesn't care about the job. That's nonsense.
No,
you
of course
you give your candidates the worst advice there is, Animal.
Well, what do you say, Mike? Smarty?
You know what? I have recruiters send me candidates all the time, and when I ask them about salary, they tell me the recruiter told me not to talk about it, and I say, you know what? The recruiter doesn't run our process here. I do. I need to know what somebody's salary expectations and requirements are before I submit them to a manager, or I look like a tool if we get to the end of the process and we don't know the guy's out of our range.
Art?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we have the conversation with people like before we even bring them in. You know, what are you making now? Where do you want to be? And if we're budgeted $50K and the guy's at 100, then there's no point.
Okay. But I'm saying about them. They're not supposed to ask. Okay,
they
you know
should.
What? Maybe you're too far up the chain. I mean, I thought you knew something about bringing people in, and I thought I was asking – I'm asking you questions, I guess, that are, you know, for your recruiters, not for you. Maybe they want to call in and help you out here, okay? They're listening. Here's
they're too busy
you know.
Closing candidates.
Yeah, right. Here's something you know about because you wrote an article about it. I'll shift to your topics away from mine, okay? Okay?
Okay.
You say culture is very important. You actually had a good job, but you left for another job for more money. And when you got there, you found you weren't happy, and it was the culture. Is that right?
I was miserable, yeah.
Tell us that story.
Totally miserable.
Tell us a little faster than you normally talk.
I took a job at a big insurance company because they offered me a huge signing bonus and a nice salary and a great title. And I got there, and for 2 weeks, I didn't even have a computer. So I'm a software engineer, and I had no computer. And I kept going to my boss saying, you know, am I going to get a computer? What's the deal? And it was like, hey, we do things slow around here. And so I just read novels at my desk for 2 weeks, and finally I went to my boss and I said I quit. The culture here is like nobody does anything and there's no pace. And the funny thing was he made me give 2 weeks notice. I was like not sure why, but I had to read novels for another 2 weeks. But it you know
that's
that,
my kind of job, by the way. You know, you should
oh, it's
me.
Awesome, right?
So, coming from the recruiter who makes two placements a year.
That's right. But Art, go ahead.
But it was formative for me in that I was coming from an environment where people just were working hard and got stuff done, and you could go get your own computer, and it was just a very different experience and to go into this big bureaucratic sort of machine. And the people there were really happy. People loved it. And I kept saying, like, doesn't this bother you? And no, it's you know, eventually you'll get it and just be patient and this is a great place to work. And I just didn't fit in. And I was like, you know, just shot out of the cannon. I couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Now, were you recruited or did you apply for this job?
I was recruited.
And did the recruiter make a mistake? Are there questions he or she should have asked you that they didn't?
I think, you know, had they given me a basic personality profile, like a PI or something like that, they would have seen a very impatient person. And I guarantee you look at the people in that company, they're all very patient. and I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Okay, so you're saying they should have given you a formal personality assessment, not just ask you questions in an interview. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe they could have asked questions in an interview, but I'm saying like a 10-minute PI assessment.
Do you guys do that?
Uh-huh. Heavily, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Big believers in online assessments.
Okay, and what should you have asked as a candidate?
That's a good question. I think putting my job seeker hat on, I'd say I should have said, you know, what's the pace like, you know, what hours do people work, and you know, how hungry are people, and you know, tell me about projects where people have collaborated. I think that kind of stuff would have come out. But I just didn't. I didn't even think to ask it.
The recruiter's not going to know that. You mean you should have asked the hiring manager when you were in there for an interview.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
So tell me about projects where people collaborated on. What is that? What are you looking for there?
I think, you know, I think the if I had asked about, like, you know, things like meeting cadence, things like that, I would have gotten at, you know, oh, yeah, we have like a million meetings and all these people are in them and we read specs and we talk about them and we don't actually do anything. I would have figured that out.
How can you find that out? I'm not getting that. Does anybody else listening to these questions, he would be asking, would he find out what he wanted to know? I'm not sure that he would.
I think he would.
Why?
If they were specific with their answers and gave, you know, it really frustrates me because when you go into an interview, you're asked so many detailed behavioral-based questions, and I think the candidate should do the same thing back to the hiring manager.
Yeah, you know what? I think it intimidates them sometimes. They think this is too aggressive a person.
Not if you say, you know, how did the last person in this role succeed? Or did not succeed, you know, things like that. That's information gathering.
You know, I think he would have done better by describing himself. I got to be doing stuff all the time. I don't like to sit around. You didn't have enough experience to know that,
yeah,
right?
He wouldn't have found out what he needed to know about the company.
Yeah, he would have said, look, this is who I am. Do I fit in? I mean, does that sound like you? Art. Art, don't wait for me to call and just jump in. I mean, maybe Art jumping in, but the process is so slow, I don't know what's going on. But feel free. I just want to encourage you. We're not polite here, okay?
Got it. Yeah, I think it's hard. It's hard to really get people to be honest about culture. I mean, the way that we try to inform candidates is we've made a list of core values, and I actually will sit with a candidate right in the interview and say, okay, this is the type of person that's successful here. If this is not you, you are going to be miserable. So I talk about, you know, ownership. You have to do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it, or people will go crazy. Like, people will think you are a complete jackass. If you say I'm going to do this by 3 o'clock on Tuesday, and then it's 4 o'clock on Tuesday and you haven't done it, people are going to look at you like you've come from Mars. And we've had this. We've had, like, candidates that join and they're like, oh, well, you know, sorry, I said I was going to do that, I'm going to be a little late, and then, you know, the Bullhorn employees who've been here for years are like sharpening the knives, like, get this person out of here. It's really, really kind of a stark, it's a thing that actually, you know, really matters here. You know, another example is service. Like, we have our definition of service is everybody who interacts with you is going to walk away knowing that you really care about doing a great job. You don't have to do what they want you to do. People have to walk away thinking you care. And I think sometimes people have a hard time with that. They're like, well, I'm an internal IT person. Why do they have to care? Like, why should I care about doing a great job? I'm going to fix their mouse when I fix their mouse. And that doesn't fly here. So I think it's sort of on the company to know.
How can you determine that in an interview or before you hire the guy?
I think it's hard. I think you just have to say to people, you have to know your culture and say, here's what works.
Okay, let me ask you about the culture again.
And then let the person decide.
You're going to get through me. mean, you're not going to get through me. I have to ask you a question. You say the hallmark of a great company is their clarity on who they are and where they're going. And once they define themselves, then everybody inside and outside the company knows if they're a fit. That sounds like nonsense to me. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's not nonsense. It actually it's informed for my years of building the business and talking to other entrepreurs about
what is
the
mission statement
process.
Talking about? What are we talking about?
No. So I'm talking about core values, the things that define what make the culture different, and like not crap like integrity, right? Everybody like. Who lists, like, we don't care about integrity and their core values? That's ridiculous. Like, everybody wants integrity. But, like, the stuff that's really important to the company is, you know, okay, for us, actually, humor is a core value. So I say you have to at least be able to laugh at yourself to work here, because if you don't, it's just you're not going to connect with people, it's not going to be a good experience, and you're not going to like it here. And then, you know, you can interview for that. You can be like, so what do you think? Like, are you going to actually make it here, or are you going to be a problem? And if they don't laugh a little bit or even smile, it's like they're going to be a problem. They're going to have trouble because they can't even laugh at themselves. Like, it's pretty easy.
So you try to make a little joke, and if the guy's not doesn't think you're funny, he's out, right?
Yeah. I just hired a COO, and during the interview process, I had three people come to me and say, He's so serious. I don't think he's going to fit. And so I actually asked references, does this guy yuck it up at all? Does he have any sense of humor? And they were like, oh, no, the guy's totally cut up. Like, he's like class clown in meetings. That's going to be fine. And we were genuinely concerned.
Okay, so this is something, though, that comes in the meetings. There's no way you can put it into some objective website or something like that the person – can read in advance of applying to your company and say, hey, that's not me. I wouldn't have fun there. That financial services company couldn't have sent you to a website, ourvalues.com, and had you read it and say, hey, no way I'm going there.
I think you could. Why not?
Okay, so what is it, sense of humor? I mean, these things all sound so bland. I don't know how they differentiate any company. I mean, although the one about people are going to, you know, yell at you, or do these guys yell at people? Is there a lot of yelling in your company? Are you allowed to say that?
No, not a lot of yelling. No.
But there's dissatisfaction.
Okay.
There's dissatisfaction.
Yeah, people are going to, you know.
Your PR person sitting beside you?
No.
She's not there, right?
No.
Okay. Hey, you know, that was a pretty girl who interviewed you on one of those Boston news programs. But she made a point of saying that she didn't. Anyway,
she does not smoke marijuana. And she
made a point.
Clear.
She made a point talking about marijuana because, you know, we'll get to that with Facebook graph. She made a point of saying, sorry, no one knows what I'm talking about, but I don't smoke marijuana. Yeah, I thought that was funny. Okay, so you quit your job that you didn't like, and that caused you a huge number of problems. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know, this was 99. It was the height of the dot-com boom, and I thought that it was going to be pretty easy as a developer getting a job because it had been easy getting the job that I had just landed. I was in there for 2 weeks. I quit, and I thought, you know, I'm going to have these offers from startups and technology companies thrown at my feet, and it did. It was – I had a pretty bad stigma, I felt, that – you know, as I talked to people, they were very concerned. Well, you just left Thomson Financial, and now it's been a month, and you're leaving this other company. What's going on? And just getting traction in my job search was really, really hard, and I had to do a lot of explaining, and people wanted to talk to my boss at John Hancock to see what really happened, and it was really uncomfortable.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair, but you're in a position there to sell into your weakness and say, look, I came in there, I like to go. I mean, that's the classic case. I left because they didn't want me to work hard enough. I mean,
I thought people didn't buy it. It was a tough sell. People were like, okay, well, we're going to need to talk to them to verify that. And my manager was pretty pissed at me and sort of gave me a hard time when I said, hey, people want to verify the story. And he's like, I'm not going to give you a reference. And, hey, I don't need you to give me a reference. I just need you to tell them you didn't fire me. It was
so you're very
so
you're very big now on people should not jump ship too soon. Is that right?
You just got to be careful. You got to be really careful, especially in this climate. You know, I mean, if you're in super high demand, you can't assume that you know, people are just going to jump to hire you. I think people get nervous. They get spooked.
Okay, let's move on. I just want should I move on from interviews? I was interested now. He handled interviews. You know, any questions from anybody who's not saying anything, who's saving it all for the after show like always? Anybody want to talk? No? Okay. I'll keep talking then. I'm happy I got a million questions. Okay. Do you have any tips for third-party recruiters, since you must know a few?
Oh, yeah, I know 50,000 of them. Not intimately, but I know.
All their stats. You know everything they do. Okay, what are the tips? Anything? What are the stupidest things you've seen them do? I'll throw out a million questions about third-party recruiters. What would you advise? Or do you know the ideal third-party recruiter?
I think some of the dumbest things, so just personally being on the end of a lot of recruiter marketing, I think like every customer we sell to puts – every Bullhorn employee in their contact database, and I get a lot of like biz dev, hey, I'm trying to drum up job orders, and I'm just astounded by some of the like mindless newslettery kind of it's total spam. It goes back to what we were saying earlier. So I think candidates and clients are the same. Like, don't send me a clear form letter that's listing the jobs that you have open and like do it just seems so thin. And maybe it must work, right? Because the percentage, it's got to be something like maybe 1% of people respond and okay, you get a job order out of it. But to me, it just seems like total garbage. And maybe it works. But you know, I think if I were running a recruiting company,
what do you want to see instead?
Personalized email. It's got to be personalized and intelligent. Like, don't take my time unless you're
going to make a point. What's intelligent? What's intelligent? Did you hear me?
I did hear you.
Yeah. Don't just talk. You know, we got listeners. They're on Twitter complaining about me all the time. You know, there's people.
How much time do I have to think about what intelligence is? Do I get any time, Animal, or is it just?
Tell us.
Okay. So, you know, I think the best stuff I've seen is like, hey, I'm looking to fill this role. I see that you have worked at companies like X, Y, and Z. Anyone in your network, like even just indicating that you looked at my LinkedIn for 30 seconds, that gets me engaged. Like, I think that works. And I think, yeah, it takes a little bit more time, but the hit rate on an email that's in some way personalized, and I actually read almost every single email I get. And if it looks like if they misspell my name, I know I can delete it right away. I see that a lot. That's great. Good. They two P's in my name. They obviously just have me in the database.
Yeah, you are a prima donna. Sorry. You're a prima donna. You are high.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Won't deny that. Yes. I'm looking for any excuse not to have to reply or respond to a solicitation. Absolutely.
But do you ever reply?
I sometimes do. I recently just critiqued a guy on his sales pitch because he was being really aggressive. And he called my cell phone, sent me an email, sent my assistant an email, and then called my work phone all within like 4 minutes. And I finally wrote him back. I'm like, you got to tone it down and just chill out. Maybe I would respond to you normally, but now I'm really annoyed and I want to block you on my cell phone. And then he came back and was, instead of actually apologizing, he sort of like pontificated on why his approach had worked. And it was totally annoying. And I was like, oh, I wish I hadn't even responded.
That guy who can't even take feedback from a potential client. That's ridiculous.
You know what? That ego, Amy, might actually keep him going and make him a fantastic salesperson in the end. Okay? That's all.
I don't think he's going to sell the bullhorn, so there you go.
Okay.
He needs to adapt to his client.
Yeah, he actually engaged the client. It could have been an awesome story. Like, yeah, I bombarded this guy. He got annoyed, but then I turned it around. It's like, I don't think you can – if you're not actually able to engage somebody on a on a real level, like once they actually give you the time of day, yeah.
Okay, Art, you actually had the guts to go into a business you knew nothing about. So what if somebody called you and they're a generalist recruiter, they're not an IT recruiter, would you consider using them?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you sell when you don't know the lingo? Because you seemed to me from your stories that you knew nothing about recruiting when you and your buddy decided.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I look at like our early days, right, we didn't know anything about recruiting. I knew software really well. So I was a domain expert in something important to our business. But recruiting, you know, my only experience was as a job seeker. And so, you know, we would go in and talk to, you know, our first client that actually paid us, I'd go and sit with them and say, you know, what are the problems you're trying to solve? And, you know, people have problems that, you know, are generalizable that, okay, you know, you want to, it sounds like you need a database where everybody can collaborate. Okay, that lots of industries have that problem. So I had experience with that.
You're not saying anything useful to us right now, but I'll add something right now. It's funny, your first business, your initial product plan, it was a disaster, and there were three partners at the time, and it took you guys one after the other, and you said the smartest, most creative guy was the last to finally admit that it wasn't going anywhere, and then your business actually fell into your lap. Tony Soprano called you from New Jersey, one of Mike Astringer's relatives, and he said, this is what I want you to do, and he threw a business right at you. Was that, in fact, what happened?
Basically. Yeah, we were so desperate that he was like, you should build me a staffing database and it should look like this. And he showed me the existing system he was using, and I was like, that system sucks. I can build you a much better system. And that was Bullhorn. Bullhorn was born.
So it kind of the lesson
Animal,
there is,
anybody watching Twitter, Animal? Because
no,
Kelly has a question.
I'm a busy man. Go ahead. You can watch it for me. I just want to make one.
Fine. I will. KB has a question. She wants to know how Bullhorn's recruiters respond when applicants contact them directly versus applying to their posting.
Okay. Go ahead. Does he know?
So if somebody just reaches out and says, hey, I want a job
at
Bullhorn, is that?
You're not allowed to use your reach out. Okay. Phone,
yeah.
Email,
yeah.
Suitable.
Yeah. That, I mean, yeah, we always We take applicants however they come. We're not rigid about, you know, they have to go through our ATS. But we actually do have a pretty rigorous process that involves an online assessment that's like 30 minutes long. So if they're willing to go through the assessment, we're willing to talk to them. And in any way they reach out.
No reach out here, okay? Reach
yeah,
out
oh,
to
no
back.
Reach out?
Yeah,
okay.
Don't say reach out.
Oh,
that's far too melodramatic for me, okay? I can't stand it.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
So in whatever way they choose to communicate with us.
Okay, we got the answer. We got it now. Okay, but I wanted to say, what the lesson that taught us from your entrepreneurial experience is that even if you're on the wrong path, if you stick with it long enough, it'll give you a chance to discover what works. Is that reasonable? Maybe?
I think so. I think that... For us, it was just a matter of, you know, we were kind of close, but the real thing for us was we were coming up with ideas of stuff people would want to pay us to do. And that was bad. And until we actually sat with somebody who said, I have a problem and I will pay you to fix it, okay, now we have a business. And that was like, I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs who are starting new types of staffing businesses, and you know, sometimes they're describing problems their prospective clients don't have, or job seekers don't have but they've come up with. They like see a problem or an inefficiency. Like my favorite technology is the one where people talk about like, oh, we're going to start a splits network, and I'll use an example of something we tried that actually was really dumb. We built a splits network, and it was again like, oh, we see inefficiency. Recruiters have these unused candidates and unfilled job orders. This is an obvious thing we can do. So we built this splits network, and guess what? It did not work because we were trying to change behavior and solve a problem that wasn't keeping anybody up at night. And so it didn't work. And it's like, people will tell you what their problems are. Okay, now you come up with an elegant way to solve it. Like, you know, oh, I have a terrible time recruiting IT talent. Okay, do you have a solution for that? You will get paid. But, you know, oh, I have a – nobody says, like, oh, I've got a bunch of unused candidates in my database and I wish I could share them with other recruiters.
I'll just say one last thing there. That I thought a real salesperson goes in and persuades somebody, explains, shares his or her vision and educates them that, yes, you really do need this. You're saying that doesn't work.
I think that the only time a sale really happens is when somebody has a problem that they need to solve.
Okay.
Maybe the problem's, okay.
Amy, any other questions there?
A lot of people are saying that this is one of the best guests you've ever had. So don't screw it up.
Come back because I'm not going to get even to the question I invited him to answer. This is pretty interesting. The black hole. You're the first guy who, maybe I'm misunderstanding what you said, but you have an explanation for the black hole. These whiners, these job hunters, are always saying, I sent my resume in and I never heard back from the company. And you say the reason is 33% of recruiters say the biggest turnoff is candidates who apply for irrelevant jobs. So there's tons of people applying for jobs that they're totally unsuited for, and no company is going to waste the time getting back to them. That's the black hole. Am I right, Art?
Yeah. It's too easy to play, like, resume roulette. Oh, I'm going to put my resume in every single job order I can find, and that drives recruiters crazy. And people recognize the name, so they don't even open the resume. It's like, oh, there's Steve again applying for the job that requires a PhD and you didn't graduate college. Awesome.
Yeah, but you said almost 50% of recruiters said they would actually blacklist candidates so they don't come up on the resume searches. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What were we going to ask?
Do you survey recruiters? Can you tell something about that? How does that work?
Yeah, so we survey, and then we also watch what recruiters do in Bullhorn. And so we get, you know, pretty good data on, you know, what they do in this inside their ATS. But then, you know, almost all of our recruiters on our ATS platform are third-party recruiters. But then we have a ton of recruiters, 200,000 recruiters using Bullhorn Reach. And so we survey those folks a lot on – you know, how they behave or how they feel or what stuff drives them crazy.
This is an answer that I thought was absurd. The recruiters apparently told you that people in their 30s are the ones who are most in demand right now, but it's easier for a recruiter to place a 55-year-old person with a steady employment history into a new job than it is to place a 30-year-old job hopper. I cannot believe that. Do you believe it?
Well, I believe it because that's what recruiters told us. But I think from experience, whenever I see somebody whose resume looks like a rap sheet, I'm like, okay, what's wrong with you? Like, what is going on? You've been at no place for more than a year.
Gen Y says that's how they move up. They move from company to company so they can advance more quickly. They're in a rush to get to the top.
Maybe that's working for them, but it doesn't work for us. We tend to avoid people like that.
Mm-hmm. And if you've been out of work for 6 months to a year, your shelf life is over. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really tough. Yeah, I'm trying to help a couple friends right now, and they're in that situation, and it's tough.
Why are
really
they
tough.
In that situation? Are they bad candidates? Are they good people? What's the story?
I think especially for executives, it can be tough. You know, you can maybe be a little too picky, and then you find yourself, oh, it's been a year now. And so that's a situation I've seen. And then the other is, like, you know, people decide they're going to take a little time off, and then it turns into a lot. And then when they do decide to get back after it, people are like, well, you know, you were pretty good 9 months ago, but what have you been doing?
But what's the significance of that? You can't take a time off because you become stupid or because it's an indicator that nobody wants you?
I think people, yeah, it's like it's an indication of demand, exactly. And I think people are just trained to say, okay, this person must not be in good demand if they've been on the shelf for 9 months.
Okay. And you're saying that a lot of times, again, you're saying that it's the candidate or the job hunter who shoots himself in the foot with a...
Sometimes. Okay. I mean, then you have a whole raft of people who are, you know, struggling, you know, chronically unemployed, and, you know, their skill sets are not in demand. I mean, that's a different category than the executive who says he wants to go fishing in the Caribbean.
You know, okay, you said something else a bit crazy that it seemed to me, that you said it doesn't matter how many followers you have on Twitter or connections on LinkedIn or Facebook, they're still going to be effective as recruiting tools. Of course it makes a difference, because if you don't have the numbers, you can't really broadcast to the numbers.
Well, I think it's about the quality of the connections, right? If you only have 50 LinkedIn connections, are we talking about as a job seeker or as a recruiter?
I'm going to quote you. You said there's no correlation between the number of Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook connections you have and the number of applications to your job
for recruiting.
Bonus. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It is true, because we actually looked at the data on our products.
I don't believe it.
Okay. Well,
it said, you say, I'm going to quote you again. According to research,
I can't
we
control
conducted,
how you feel. Yes.
Okay. It's
not
how
I
feel
about the facts.
It's what I think. Here's your announcement. Size doesn't matter. According to research, we can.
Here we go.
Yeah, leveraging, he's 32, he's a locker room guy. According to research we conducted, leveraging social recruiting is based on quality of interaction and content, not quality of followers. Don't tell me a neighborhood newspaper is going to get the same reach as a national newspaper. That's insane, okay?
But what about results? I think he's talking about the results of that outreach. So I tend to agree with what he's saying. And also, Animal, let me just add that your Twitter followers are loving this guy. I think I'm going to have to pass on my best guest crown to Art, because he's doing a great job.
We'll see if we remember him in February, okay? Okay, we're almost out. Just said, you want to talk about the education issue, or do you want to, you know, bring that back for another day?
I'd say that's a good one. We should hold that. That's more than 3 minutes worth of discussion, I think.
I have a quick follow-up question. Maybe he can help me with something, Art. So you mentioned helping a couple of friends that are, you know, been out of work for a long time. What do you do when they just won't take your advice?
Oh yeah, it does drive me crazy when you get. You go out of your way to help somebody and make an introduction, and then you're like, hey, you should follow up with that guy. Oh, no, you know, I sent him an email. I'm going to wait for him to come to me. It's like, dude, you've been out of work for 9 months. What are you telling me? Like, they're going to come to you. No, go camp out outside his office. It drives me crazy. I think I think you can lead the horse to water. You know, that's about it. It's super annoying when you're trying to help out a friend and they just, it's like, oh, you know better, of course, because, you know, you've looked for, you know, it's crazy. Especially if you're a recruiter helping out a friend and they're discounting your advice. It's like, what? Yes.
Thank you. Me too.
Art, how old were you when you became a millionaire?
Let's see.
Now, I ask because you were nominated to be – you were part of Ernst & Young's Top 40 Under 40, right?
I was – yeah, Boston Business Journal 40 Under 40, yes.
Well, Boston Business
Journal. I'm 38 now, and so I'm still under 40. And then I was 24 when I started the business.
Mm-hmm. You didn't answer my question. I mean, we know you're rich, okay?
No.
Okay, you're not answering. Okay. Let me see what else I haven't discussed. Are you still, you know, Tony Soprano? Did you ever thank him? You really helped us.
I love that guy. The guy's Mike O'Donnell. He was the CEO of Versatech out of Woodbridge, New Jersey. He's still running a staffing company now. It's like nurse, something with nurses. Guy is like a phenomenal guy. And yes, many thanks to Mike O'Donnell. He's a total star.
Okay. Anybody else?
And very entertaining to talk to. He really did sound just like Tony Soprano.
Yeah. So actually, you can be successful and be have a dirty mouth, though two things aren't related, right?
That's, yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Anything else that you'd like to share with us before I let you go? Or that someone wants to ask you? Last few minutes.
I just want to say, Animal, I got to run. I got to go to a meeting. But this has been a fabulous show. Thank you so much for putting up with Animal and coming on. And I hope you come back
She's not going to give you a score.
Okay. I'm going to give him 94, which is probably the highest score in the history of ever from me. So, excellent job.
Wow.
Okay. Anybody else want to say something? No. Okay. Art, you cannot stay on for the after show. That's when they talk and grade us, okay? Mike Aisberger,
I was not aware I was being graded. I probably
get graded. This is a transparent show. We're very upfront. I told you, don't hesitate when I ask you something. Just say I'm not going to tell you. Mike Aisberger, are you ready?
I am.
Okay. Art Pappas, thank you!
So who's still with us?
I'm here.
I cannot hear anyone over that noise.
You know what? I think Amy's at their meeting and left her phone on.
Turned it off. Last person who called in.
Okay.
So we have Kathy. Who else is here?
About six people.
Hey, Mikey. How are you?
Good. Who's this?
It's Blake.
Blake?
Hey,
Amy.
Blake.
How are you?
Hey, pasa.
What's going on, man?
Just you, brother. I got your message yesterday. I thought I would tune in to hear how good your after show was.
You know what? I feel like every time Jerry takes a day off, he must have radar, and Animal sets me up for a failure because I'm actually a little bit surprised that the Twitter feed likes this guy. I was totally lost in the show. And I want your guys' opinion, too, because I was lost here. First of all, he's the CEO of Bullhorn. We didn't talk about Bullhorn. He's not a recruiter, and we talked about recruiting. I just didn't get it. Hello, anyone?
Why is Jerry not here? What's up with him?
He's fishing. So this week he's fishing. Last week he was fixing his boat, and the week before that he was on vacation. I personally think that Jerry's
been
taking...
I've got him so busy right now that I'm amazed he's able to even do the show ever.
You know what? I just think he's not taking his responsibility seriously anymore. What are you doing these days, Blake?
Oh, my God, man. I've never worked this hard in my whole life, man. No, shit. Has it been that long since we've talked?
It has. You don't return phone calls.
Well, we should have a call after this, and I can catch up.
Good.
You know, you're wrecking the show, Mike.
I'm wrecking the show. You didn't give me any material, Animal.
Hey, Animal, I thought I'd
Well, you ask people for scores. Hi, Blake. Nice to hear from you. Ask for scores. They're hanging up on you. Come on. I know you can do better.
I asked the question, what did everybody think of this guy?
They didn't answer, so you have to go with it. You have to lead the show. You're a leader.
Let me tell you something, Animal. I have professional radio experience, and you're trying to tell me how to do this show?
Well, you're dying. Sorry.
All right, Kathy and Blake, what are your scores?
I gave the guy an 80. Yeah, I thought he was good, but I was a little confused as well why he was a software developer and he was giving advice on recruiting and everything. So, having never been a recruiter, so I was a little confused.
And not really knowing what his recruiters do.
Yeah.
What about Animal? What about Animal's score?
You know, I give Animal like a 70, only because he wasn't able to rattle this guy at all. It's the first time I've heard that. I mean, most people get rattled. This guy was pretty steady Eddie along the way.
Barely got a pulse, Blake. Come on.
You're right.
Well, he's talking
about you,
Kathy.
you know, I have to give Animal a 90 for getting this guy on the show. I was impressed. But you're right. You brought up a really good point I hadn't thought about. He doesn't recruit, and we didn't talk about Bullhorn.
I was really looking forward to getting into a Bullhorn conversation.
Yeah, so I'd give him a 70. I'd say average.
Who else is here? Anybody else want to give scores?
I'd say about a 78, 79. It made sense him talking about recruiting. Bullhorn, that's what they do. They deal with recruiters. So he had some creds to be able to talk about recruiting.
Who is this?
This is Ted Figlock.
Hey, Ted, how are you?
Ted.
Doing okay.
What do you give Animal?
I'd give him about the same. He was nudging him along. Tough when he, guy like sort of like me, talks a little bit calmly, but I think he got a good to get him on, and he kept turning the conversation.
He had to have this, the demeanor of a CEO, so I'm going to give him a break for his demeanor versus some recruiters that we have on, because he is a CEO of a company, so he's got to maintain a certain demeanor. Although I will take away from the fact that he wouldn't talk about if he can get laid or not. So I struggle with this. First of all, I'm going to give Animal a 70 for his guest, and he only gets that high of a score because he actually got the CEO of Bullhorn to come on the show. But again, I really wish there was a topic to the show. I mean, you know, you're asking somebody who's not a recruiter about recruiting, and we didn't talk about Bullhorn at all. I'm probably going to give the guest the same score. You know, he came onto a recruiting show and, again, didn't push to talk about his product and was talking about stuff that that he has no experience in.
Yeah, Animal really missed the mark with not even mentioning Bullhorn. Didn't even say the initials. I mean, it was like...
And I'm not saying it should have been a commercial for Bullhorn, but you know what? Let's talk about how technology can push along the recruiting process and make a recruiter's
exactly.
desk more efficient and those types of things. And Animal just didn't touch on any of those things at all.
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Kathy, I was a little confused that whenever you spoke up and Animal said, "Hey, welcome back, Kathy," and then you asked a couple questions and he said, you know, "Hey, the other guy's the guest." You know,
this is so typical, and Animal, I've been on.
I smacked you down a little bit.
Yeah, I've been listening to almost every show, and when I do talk, I get cut off. But yet, Amy gets, like Animal says, "Do you have any follow-up questions, Amy?" I'm like, what is this?
I have a theory behind that, Kathy, if you will.
Okay, what's the theory?
The theory is that Animal thought that he could hit that, and then, you know, he found that you're engaged, and he's just not, you know, now he doesn't have any, he's being disrespectful.
No, he's always done this to me. He's always done this to me. It's like, I feel frivolous, I feel like I don't exist, I feel like I'm a dumb blonde, even though I'm a brunette, and I just feel like I'm insignificant in the whole realm of the show.
I think that the next show should be a Kathy Animal therapy session.
Jeez.
And then
Kathy, by the way, I realize I owe you a return phone call. The reason you haven't gotten it yet is because I don't have all the detail, but I'm getting there.
No, don't worry about it. And I sent you some things just to see if I could help you at all. I mean, just
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mike Astringer?
Yes.
Jerry takes into account the Twitter voting. Will Thompson gave Art a 95, and he gave me a 90. Just want you to know. Will Thompson.
Oh.
Chris,
of course, you got one high
number.
Score. You got to make sure you throw it in
there.
Oh,
Chris.
Exactly.
Chris Fleek gave the guest a 95 and the host a 90. Okay. Mark Sullivan. Sullivan Mark D. Oh, he didn't give a score, but he said, well, maybe he did. Let me just see. I don't know. Somebody else gave a score. They're all high scores
Animal.
On Twitter, okay?
He's desperate.
So, Animal, as long as you're going to stick your nose in here, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Why did you not address what I said earlier?
Let me ask you a question, Mike. I can turn that one on easy. I kept saying, anybody want to say anything? Anybody want to say anything? Anybody want to say anything? And you didn't say anything, okay? So don't point the finger at me, okay?
You would have said, wait till the after show, Mike. That's what you would have said.
Yeah, this is not the Mike Astringer show.
Right.
Although it should
okay.
be.
Yeah, okay.
Mike,
yeah.
You are very good on the radio, and I think you should take Jerry's place permanently, honestly.
Damn.
My problem is, Kathy, like I said, every time I'm asked to do an after show at the last minute, I have no material to work with. I got nothing to work with here.
Yeah, you do. but you're still doing well.
Thank you. Well, I got to get back to work, so this is going to be a Jerry line. I got to get back to work because I got a million calls to make today. So you guys
have a great day.
Wait,
yeah, you're not going to go fishing and feed your family?
I actually think I may take a ride on my new Harley Davidson this afternoon, but other than that, no.
Good.
Did you see a picture of my new Harley?
I did. It's gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
Did you trade the Honda on the Harley, or did you keep the Honda, too?
This is my fifth bike in 3 years, but I bought a Sportster at the end of last year, which I'm giving to my son, and I just bought myself a Road King on Saturday.
Yeah, I had a Sportster and regretted that all along.
I actually like it, but it's not good for riding one up, so when I want my wife on it, I need the bigger bike.
Right on.
Plus, I'm actually thinking about taking the Mike World Tour at the end of the summer in August. I'm thinking about riding down to Florida to see my brother, and then I was actually thinking about going to Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
Oh, you should go to San Diego.
Hey, Animal, are you still on here?
I'm still here.
Hey, are you still working with Jerry? Are you still, like, doing some recruiting with him?
Not recently.
Ask him to give you that product manager position that I've got out in Baltimore, because he doesn't want to work on it.
You don't, talk to him yourself, okay, Blake? Sorry, no offense.
Hey. Just trying to make you some money here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Animal doesn't care about money.
Trying to get you that third placement this year.
Yeah.
Animal, have you made the first one yet this year?
What month is it? I don't know.
It's April.
I want to know the size of that kidney stone.
What was that, Kathy?
I'm
sorry.
What was the size of his kidney stone? I want to know that.
Two millimeters.
Two millimeters? That's not too bad. Okay.
That wasn't too bad. That's right.
I'm not Canadian. I don't know what a millimeter is.
But you don't know what it is. That's the thing. You don't know what it is. You don't know where you're headed, right?
I just found it interesting that you even started the show out with that.
Everything went wrong for you today, Mike.
Everything did go wrong for me today, Animal. I got to be honest with you. You're absolutely right. I actually caught a couple of Z's in the middle of the show.
Mike, can you find me a product manager in Baltimore?
I can find you a product manager in Baltimore.
Maybe Boston. Boston would be a location as well.
I could definitely find you a product manager in Boston. In fact, the last time I was going to work on something with you, I sent you a service agreement. I never heard from you again. So
come on. Dude, you know.
So give me a call.
I'm busier than a warm paper hanger in a windstorm right now, man. You gotta cut me some slack.
So is that your third placement for the year also?
Who, me?
I'm kidding.
Shit, dude.
You thought I should hear my wedding plans, but you're not going to hear them until afterwards. Oh, my God, is all I can say.
Am I invited?
When are you getting married?
I'm not even telling you when, but it's going to be out.
Because then whenever you started dating a guy, come on, you got to at least, you know.
When I change my status on Facebook, you'll know. But
let me ask you this: are you getting married in California or in Denver?
Neither.
Near the new house. Neither one.
Neither one.
Ah, okay.
Can I go to work now?
Yeah, you can go to work. I should too.
Have a good day, guys.
Fun after show. You know, Jerry just. I've got to say, the only reason why I've been a little upset with Jerry is all he talks about is how successful he is on the after show.
Have you just met Jerry?
Well, I mean,
is this your first day?
No. But other people, and they will remain nameless, have been very annoyed as well. It's gotten very cocky.
I mean, more so
than ever is what I'm trying to say.
I would say that probably Blake and I know Jerry better than anybody else here, or longer anyway. Longer, not better.
Right.
Blake, would this be her first day if she's now complaining about that?
It's weird.
Oh, no, it's just gotten
worse. I'm shocked. I talked to Jerry probably 4 or 5 times a day, every day.
No, but I'm sorry.
Every single day. Even when he was on vacation, I was talking to him, because he's busy. But I'm a little shocked to hear you say that, Kathy Maness.
Well, he's a nice guy over the phone when you talk to him one-on-one. But when he's on the show, it's all about how much money he's making. I think it's rather gauche.
Do we want some scores here? Because I sat here doing the scores while I'm listening to us talk about Jerry being gauche.
I do like Jerry, but I just don't think he's good for the after show right now. I'm sorry.
Well, he doesn't care. If he cared, he'd be here.
That's true.
So, average score for the guest.
I didn't hop on here thinking that y'all were going to be slamming Jerry today. Gee,
no, I'm not trying to. Oh, my God. Now there's going to be this rumor about me slamming Jerry. I'm not. I just think it's going to be
redundant. It's not a rumor. It's not
Wait
a
minute,
rumor. It's out there. I mean, you pretty much put it out there. How is it a rumor?
Well, he can handle it. He's a big boy.
Wait a minute, you're engaged and you're slamming Jerry?
No.
All right, I got to go to work. Score for the guest, 85. Score for Animal, 82. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you.